Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves towards the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, that's 3a, and we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up in the skinny lines. We've been discussing agricultural work that is permitted or forbidden on the sabbatical year, which we sometimes call a Shemitah year, but in the Gemara it calls it Shvi'it, the seventh year. Itmar, it was taught, Hachoresh Bashvit, one who plows a field on the sabbatical year, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. There's a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chadamar, one says, Loke, that he has violated a Torah commandment and therefore he is liable to lashes. Bechadamar, Eino Loke, and one says he does not receive lashes. Okay. What is the source of the dispute between them? So the Gemara is going to suggest that they disagree about whether or not to follow a certain rule promoted by Rabbi Avin. Lema b'de Rabbi Avin amar Rabbi Ilah kamipalgi. Perhaps they disagree related to this rule propounded by Rabbi Avin in the name of Rabbi Ilah. What's the rule? De amar Rabbi Avin amar Rabbi Ilah kol makom shenemar klal ba'asei uprat b'lo ta'asei. Any place where it says in the Torah a general principle related to a positive commandment, uprat, and then a specific example, below tase, in a negative commandment, ein daninoto biklal uprat uklal. We don't judge it as a regular, general, specific, general. Now, this requires a little bit of background. So as you may be aware, we say this in davening every day, there are a certain number of hermeneutical principles, methodologies and the ways in which we interpret a Torah text halachically. So what we say usually is the Braita of Rabbi Ishmael, and he identifies 13 principles. Now, if you look in those principles, there's a whole bunch of them. I'm going to mention them briefly. One of them is klal uprat, a general principle, and then a specific principle, and one is prat uklal, a specific principle, then a general principle. But the two that we're going to look at here are the following. The way that they want to look at this is that that you can have a halachic setup where you have a klal uprat uklal, a general principle, a specific example, followed by a general principle. When you have that, the rule is klal uprat uklal, iata dan ella ke'en haprat. Then the general principles would sandwich the specific principles are specifically referring to the specific principle. Anything that is like this specific example that's similar, it's kind of like it's an av, it's a primary category. Anything that is similar to the detail that's mentioned is also included in the general principle. That's the way that it usually works. So in this case, I'll explain how it would work. In the case of Shemitah, we have a pasuk in Vayikra, Chapter 25, and here's what it says. It says, in verse 4, Shabbat Shabbaton uvashana hashvid, in the seventh year, Shabbat Shabbaton yela aretz, you will have a Shabbat Shabbaton for the land, Shabbat Lashem, that is a Shabbat for Hashem. Now that is a general principle. Then in the seventh year, you will have a Shnat Shabbaton. That's your klal principle. Now here's the prat. Sadcha lo tizra, your field you will not plant. V'charmecha lo tizmor, and your vineyard you shall not prune. That's specific examples. And we get a few other specific principles. But then at the end of the next verse, it says, Shnat Shabbaton yihye la'aretz. It shall be a year of rest for the land. So between those two verses, what you have is a general principle where it says, Shabbat Shabbaton yihye la'aretz, a group of specific examples, that's your prat, followed by a klal, again, a second klal, Shabbat Shabbaton yihye la'aretz. So in the case of klal uprat uklal, the general rule would be that we take the specific example, sadcha lo tizra v'charmecha lo tizmor, and anything that is similar to those would also be forbidden on the sabbatical year. Now, Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Ilah's chiddush is that if the klal uprat uklal goes positive-negative, it doesn't work. So here you have, shenat shabbaton yila aretz, you shall have a Shabbat in the land. That's positive. Followed by Sadcha lo tizra, you shall not plant your field. So Rabbi Oven in the name of Rabbi Yehuda says, when you have it that way, positive commandment followed by a negative commandment, then the rule of klal uprat uklal does not apply. Instead, you treat it as if it is just a regular klal uprat. The rule in a general klal uprat is ein bichlal ela mashe beprat. You judge it only by the specific example. Only that specific example is forbidden, and anything that is not specifically identified is not forbidden. Okay, so here's how the Gemara is going to say it. Let's read the whole Gemara again. Lema, let us say, b'derabbi Avin am Rabbi Ila kami palgi, that he disagrees with the principle of Rabbi Avin in the name of Rabbi Ila. To am Rabbi Avin am Rabbi Ila koma kom shenamar klal ba'ase, anytime it says a general principle with a positive commandment, uprat b'lo tase, and a specific example with a negative commandment, ain danin oto b'klal uprat uklal. It's not treated as a general principle, specific principle, general principle, which would make the anything that's similar to the specific principle would be included. So it would be a very broad category. Mand amar loka, the one who says that the one who plows on the sabbatical year gets lashes, letle Rabbi Avin, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Avin. In other words, he holds that it is a klal, uprat uklal. Therefore, many things besides the specific things mentioned in the pasuk apply, including plowing. Umanda amar eno loka, the one who says that he doesn't get lashes if he plows the field in the sabbatical year, it laid to Rabbi Avin. He says he follows Rabbi Avin. In other words, he says in this case, we don't treat it as a klal uprat uklal. We treat it as a klal uprat. Since we treat it as a klal uprat, the only things that are forbidden are the specific examples, such as planting. Plowing is fundamentally different than planting. Therefore, he would not be held liable for plowing under a klal uprat scenario. Okay, so I hope that made sense to you. Lo, the Gemara now rejects that. Dekule ama let le derbi avin. And everybody disagrees with Rabbi Avin, meaning here we have a principle of klal uprat uklal, and in Rabbi Avin am Rabbi Ila, in the name of Rabbi Ila. Here we have this principle of klal uprat uklal, and Rabbi Avin's way of sabotaging that principle, nobody accepts that. Everybody thinks that he's wrong. Now, there's a long Tosfot on this where Tosfot doesn't understand. He thinks it's exactly the opposite. He thinks everybody agrees with Rabbi Avin Rabbi Ila, and so he flips the rest of the sugya inside out to go that way. But the simple reading of it is that nobody agrees with Rabbi Avin in the name of Rabbi Lam. Manda amar loke shapir. So the one who says that you should be whipped for, or you should get lashes for plowing on the sabbatical year, shapir, it's good. Why is it good? Because since we do treat it as a klal uprat uklal, it's a very broad category. The general principle includes everything that's similar to the specific principle, means anything that promotes growth would be included, and therefore plowing, which is a necessary precondition to planting, would be included. Let's say umanda amar eno loka, but what about the guy who says that he does not get lashes? How's he going to explain it? Why shouldn't he get lashes? Amar lacha, he'll say to you, mechti, let's think about this. Zmira bichlal zriya. In the verse it says, sadcha lo tizra, v'chamecha lo tizmor. So the primary category is planting, that's zriya, and the subcategory is zmira, which is pruning. So you have a primary category and a subcategory. Uvetzira bichlal kitzira. And in the next verse, it says, etzviach kitzircha lo tiktzor. The svichim, the things that grow naturally, you shouldn't harvest them. And then it says, inveinizirecha lo tiktzor. And the your grapevines that grow, you should not do the same thing with them. You should not cut them. So lamai hilchata katvinu rachamana. So why did the Torah write both of them? It could have just written zriya and katsira. Why did it include bitsira, zmira, and bitsira? Lemeimar, to teach the ahane toldo tud mechayev, that these specific subcategories, that is zmira and bitsira, those ones are not, you're not allowed to do on a sabbatical year. You're chayev if you do them. atolda chrina, but any other subcategories, meaning all the other ones we mentioned, like hoeing and weeding and fumigating and covering with dirt, all those other ones that we mentioned, lo mechayev, you are not chayev to undoing them. Vilo, but wait a minute, didn't we learn in a braita, v'hatanya, sadcha lo tizra v'char mecha lo tizmor, you shall not plant your field and you shall not prune your vineyard. Ainli elizirua avizimur, I only hear, it only specifies, the prot is only planting and pruning. Minayin, where do I know, le'idur ulekishkush ulekisuach, that you may not hoe, idur is hoeing, kishkush is also a kind of hoeing under the fig, under the olive trees, and kisuach, which we discussed before, is picking dead branches out of when they're overcrowded. Talmud lomar saducha lo karmecha lo. Your field you may not do anything in, and karmecha you may not do anything lo. What does lo mean? Kol melacha shebesadecha. Any agricultural work in your field you can't do. Vilo kol melacha shebekarmecha. And the other lo is any work in your vineyard. This is all repeated text from the top of the Amud. Uminayin she'ein mekarsimin ve'ein mezardin ve'ein mefazgin. And how do you know that you cannot do mekarsimin, again, means pruning a tree. And mezardin means cutting branches from a tree so that it will grow better. And mefazgin means staking a tree so that it has something to lean on so it doesn't fall over. Talmud lomar, saducha lo, karmecha lo. Your field, no. Your vineyard, no. Kol melacha shebesadecha, lo, kol melacha shebesadecha. Lo refers to all the work in your field. Lo, kol melacha shebekarmecha. Lo refers to all the work in your vineyard. Minayin she'ein mezablin ve'ein mefarkin ve'ein ma'ashnin ba'ilan. How do you know that you cannot fertilize? That's mezablin. Mefarkin means to clear stones out of the field. Ma'ashnin means to fumigate. For some reason here it skips mezablin. Not mezablin. Which one does it skip? Oh, ma'avkin, which was to cover the roots with dirt. I don't know why it skipped here. Talmud lomar, saducha lo, karmecha lo. Your field, no. Your vineyard, no. Kol melacha shebesadecha, lo. Any work in your fields, not allowed. V'chol melacha shebecharmecha, lo. And any work in your vineyards is not allowed. Yachol, perhaps, I might have thought, therefore, lo yishkashkesh tachar hazeitim. I can't do some light hoeing under olive trees. V'lo ya'ader tachar hagfanim. And I can't hoe under my vines. My grapevines, v'lo yimalei nekaimayim, and I can't fill the holes around my shrubs with water. V'lo yaseh ugiot lekvanim, and I can't make little irrigation holes around my grapevines. Talmud lomar comes to teach me, sadcha lo tizra, your field you shall not plant, zriya bichlal haita. The zriya, planting, is a general category. It was interesting because earlier we argued that it was a prat, meaning the klal was shnat shabbaton yela aretz, the prat was sadcha lo tizra, but here we understand it as a klal. Zriya is a klal, it's one example. V'lama yatzda, and why did they specifically mention planting? Lehakishe leha, to create a hekesh, to create a connection. Lomar lecha, to teach you. Mazriya miyuchedet, just as planting is unique and significant, avuda shebesadeh uvacherem, it's work that can be done, that is done both in a field and in a vineyard. Af kol shu havuda shebesadeh v'shebecherem. So too, any other work which is done both in a field and in a vineyard would be allowed. Those are the exceptions to the rule, and those are the ones that are allowed. So the Gemara answers all of this was a built-up question to say, isn't it true that the Torah forbids all of these different activities? Based, whether it's based on a specific example that creates a hekesh, or it's created by a klal, uprat uklal, all of these are coming to try to say that the Torah seems to say that there are many things on Shemitah, in a Shemitah year, that are forbidden to do in your field. So the Gemara answers, midrabanan, all of this is from the rabbis. From the Torah, these things are not forbidden, but rabbinically, the rabbis made a fence around the Torah. Ukra, and any of these verses that you're quoting to support it, asmachta ba'alma, they are just an asmachta, they are just a, that is just a sort of it's not a proof, it's a support for that opinion, but it's not actually considered to have the authority of the Torah behind it. It may be evidence that such a thing is plausible or that it makes sense for the rabbis to make such a rule, but it is not the authority of the Torah. It doesn't say that it is forbidden. There's one other interesting thing here related to whether or not all of these activities that we mentioned are all done both in a field and in a vineyard, which is not clear that they are. So the Ron has a different approach to it. He says that what we're talking about here is avodah miyuchedet, that there are certain kinds of agricultural labors that have to be done only once a year or once a season. So, you know, you have to clear out all the ugiot for your gefanim. You have to clear out all of the, you know, the little irrigation ditches around your vines one time a year. You have to, after the winter, you have to go and clean them out. Then you do it once. And that's one kind of activity, as opposed to the kind of activity that you have to do all the time, such as irrigating. Irrigating is a constant activity. You have to come out every day or every week and make sure to irrigate. So he wants to argue fundamentally there's a difference between these two kinds. Things that are done once a year are significant activities that are really part of cultivating the land, and activities that are done frequently are something that is done just, so to speak, for maintenance. And anyway, we stop there at the very bottom of Daf Gimel. We'll conclude. We'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.